Welcome back, everyone, to the Budget Cut Podcast, the show about films, TV, student life, and anything else pop culture related. My name's Ethan Doe, and I'm already regretting using the term student life in the description. It makes this show sound like some high school university podcast. Maybe I'll change it. But then again, this is episode 2 of a show that started like 7 months ago, so I guess we'll see how this all goes. So you're probably wondering why I decided to bring this show back, seeing as though my pilot wasn't, that exciting. Well, for starters, it's the holidays, and I kind of need a project to work on so I feel productive, and like I'm not slowly losing my minds. But also, I figured that this would be a good exercise for me to be more articulate and talk more, which is quite surprising, seeing as though I've already stumbled quite a few times in this episode. So here's how I'd like to structure my episodes. So for starters, we're gonna start with a film topic. Now, usually this could be a review, like what I did in my pilot episode with It, or it could be anything that I really want to bring up, like a discussion on culture or recent news. The second part of the episode will be a general topic or discussion about life or something that I'm going through or a theme that I could be discussing. And thirdly, there'll be another miscellaneous topic that could be either about films or a general discussion. Now, I'm trying to get special guests in to come and help co-host the show with me, because evidently when it's by myself, it just sounds like I'm rambling on. But for now, you just get to hear me talk to myself in this room. So I'm sure you've at least read the title of this episode, so I'm just going to get straight into it. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is what I watched this week. So right now, I could actually have gone to go watch Ready Player One with a couple of friends, but I didn't, evidently. I don't know, I called it from the start of the year that Ready Player One would be the film that I care the least about. I have nothing against Ernest Cline, I think his name was, the author. He clearly had a great passion for pop culture and nostalgia and all that things, but it feels very ham-fisted when you shove, all these different references into a narrative. It feels a lot like, Sword Art Online, but with every other 80s reference thrown in there. And also, Steven Spielberg is a great director. Jurassic Park still stands as one of my favorite films of all time. But recently, his films haven't been, the best, I guess. It's certainly still of a really high standard. But, when it comes to movies like The BFG or The Bridge of Spies even, it's not bad. It's just very mundane, I guess. It's nothing out of the ordinary. We'll say that. So yeah, I guess I just don't really care, but clearly a lot of people seem to think that the movie is actually quite promising, and a lot of people have been giving it good reviews, so, I'm always open to having my mind changed, I guess. I'll tell you what I did watch yesterday, though. Was it 2 days ago? I watched Pacific Rim Uprising. Surprisingly, it was actually alright. I don't really have the best recollection of the first movie. I think I was like 10 or 11 or something when I watched it. The original movie is perfectly fine. It's got some great action in it, and some of the characters are quite likable, I guess. I just felt that at times the movie would drag on for a little bit too long, and I didn't really get too much of the robot versus kaiju action that you'd want from a Pacific Rim movie. Now, the second movie, however, does have a lot of that. It's certainly not as memorable as the first movie, and I don't think a lot of people would find that the second one is anywhere near as good as the first one, but I quite liked it. Definitely, Pacific Rim Uprising was very charisma-driven, especially when you have an actor like John Boyega in the lead role, and even I think it was Scott Eastwood helping out. You'll definitely get a lot more charisma from them, and that's why I think that's where I think the movie benefits from. The action is pretty good. It's got a lot of over-the-top action. It's very jarring. There's a There's like a ninja robot in there, which I thought was really cool. See, when it comes to a movie like Pacific Rim, you kind of just want it to be over the top, you know, robot action against these giant monsters. It doesn't have to be too surreal or too dramatic. I kind of just want a fun action movie, and I guess that's what I got out of Uprising. So, yeah, I can't, no complaints there. I walked in not really expecting much, and I walked out pretty happy with what Uprising had to offer. I will say that I did laugh quite a few times in scenes that I don't think I should have been laughing in, because it was so over the top, but definitely that's what I wanted from a big blockbuster movie about robots fighting kaijus, I guess. I will say though that at the very end they had an post-credit scene. Well, it's not a post-credit scene, but it's like a scene after the title comes up at the very end, which reminded me a lot of Independence Day Resurgence, when they're like, oh, well, looks like next time we're going to come to you. You know, it felt very ham-fisted that they were going to make a sequel. I think obviously to an extent it wasn't as bad as Independence Day, but, you know, I just felt like that was very out of the blue. The thing is, I really like these giant monster movies. For example, Godzilla is one of the best monster movies in my opinion. There's something about that whole larger than life aspect of that action, which is really, it's really interesting, and it's also really epic at times. There's also a lot of morals about nature and why humanity shouldn't interfere with, you know, life and biology, like how you see that in Jurassic Park or Godzilla. There's always a message that comes out of that, which I think is very helpful. Well, not just helpful, but very insightful into how there should be limits for what scientists can do, and how just because they can doesn't mean that they should. Also, it's just really epic and a lot of fun to see giant monsters battling it out and damaging a lot of buildings and cities. So, yeah, I think it was Universal, was it, that was planning to get a crossover between Godzilla and the recent Kong movie that they had, which definitely sounds very interesting. I think I read somewhere that they might even cross over that with Pacific Rim. I have no idea how that's going to turn out, but definitely, seeing as though what Pacific Rim had to offer before, I'm definitely more excited to see what they have in store. I think it was Universal, wasn't it? They wanted to start a dark universe with all these old, like, retro monsters, like Creature from the Black Lagoon and The Mummy. But seeing as though how The Mummy turned out, I don't think they're going to be doing that anymore. So yeah, I guess that's my movie of the week discussion. Alright, so on another note, I wanted to talk about a theme or a problem that I've had on my mind for a long time now. In 2018, we've had to deal with a lot of change from last year, obviously. But I wanted to talk about how we deal with change and how we can cope with these new changes. When it comes to a new year and, you know, even a new term coming around the corner, there's going to be a lot of new changes that we'd have to deal with. And some of them might be for the better, but some of them might also be for the worse. And that's something that we're going to have to learn to deal with. So from a personal standpoint, in a couple weeks or next week even, I'm going to be having to go through a lot of orthodontics treatment for my teeth, because my teeth is pretty messy right now. Within the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be getting a lot of my teeth extracted. And then in about a month's time, I'm going to be putting on braces, which I'm terrified for, because I, since year 7 and since year 8, like 4 years ago, I've been always really threatened by the idea of having braces. I don't think I can cope with having braces put on me for 2 years. See, I'm not even that afraid of the pain that braces might come with. It's just that it's a change that's going to be happening to your appearance that's going to be with you for 2 years, and you can't change it. And that's just going to be something that you have to deal with. And that's what I've always been really frightened of. Because I don't want to be that guy that says I don't like commitment because, you know, I am quite a committed person, but I just don't like being forced into commitment and having to commit to something that I don't necessarily want for like 2 years as well. And 2 years is a long time, I guess. As humans, we're always instinctively afraid of change. We like to develop habits for ourselves that we can get used to and adapt so that we don't have to adapt to. I mean, look at your school life, look at your everyday life. You go to school, you do the work, you come home, you do whatever you want to do, and, you know, that's one day, and that's how you build this kind of repetition in your daily life, because that's what we cling on to as humans. We like a structure, we like repetition, we like habits. And that's why we're so afraid of change, because that ruins this habit that we've built up for all this time. But change isn't something that necessarily has to be bad. You know, when you change houses or you change schools, that can evidently be a really scary thing, especially for kids or teenagers. But that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. If you look at it from a different perspective, and if you look at it from the point that, yes, some old things might have to go, but you're also moving in life, you're also progressing, and you're evolving. And that's a really important part of life as well, the idea that you have to grow up. Change is something that's really scary, but, you know, as Charles Darwin puts it, with natural selection, we have to be able to adapt to these changes so that we can evolve and so that we can, you know, grow as human beings. The whole experience of humanity and of life is just so that we can grow and, you know, make new friends and make new experiences. And that's something that we're going to have to come to terms with. And so drawing back to my orthodontics tale, obviously there's going to be a lot of things that I'm going to be dealing with, you know, the pain for one, the change to appearance and some minor hindrances, but these at most are still minor hindrances. It's undeniable that the change that's going to happen to my teeth is going to be worthwhile in the long term. So I guess in that way, I am now quite excited to get braces on. I can't wait to see what my teeth will look like afterwards. And I do understand that the changes that's going to be happening far exceeds, you know, the momentary things that I'm going to have to give up, like pain, for example, or comfort. So yeah, that's just my thoughts on change and my opinions on, my upcoming orthodontics treatment. That felt really cathartic, you know, just to talk about it. So yeah, I guess that's something good about this budget cut podcast that I can do, you know, talk about everyday things that's happening in my life. Speaking of everyday things that's happening in my life, I recently finished, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Now, I've always had some experience with the franchise. In primary school, my friends were big fans of the series. They would always talk about it, and I'd always hear them talking about Quidditch and what house you're in, and I didn't really care so much for it in primary school. In about year 8 or year 9, I glossed over the movie franchise, and I did like a lot of it. I think J.K. Rowling really did develop a magical universe that has such an impact on everyone in the world, but I never really got that full immersive experience into the universe, which is really sad because I've been to quite a few different Universal Studios around America, and I feel like I don't think I got the full, you know, Harry Potter experience. I mean, I even bought a wand. I think I bought a Dementor wand, and that was way too overpriced, especially for someone that hasn't read the books or isn't a huge fan of the movies. But I finally did bother to read The Philosopher's Stone. I will say that it was a little tedious at the start, especially with the Dursleys and Harry Potter getting to terms with you know, him being a wizard. It did drag quite a little bit, and I didn't really find it as interesting. But it definitely does pick up in later chapters, and once it hits a point when he joins Hogwarts, I really found myself into the narrative, and I was really interested in Harry Potter and Hermione and Ron Weasley. I really also do think that the movie is a really good adaptation of the book. which you don't really get so much in the modern Hollywood era. I definitely do have plans to continue reading Harry Potter. I've been reading a lot more recently, which I think was one of my New Year's resolutions, and I have been following up with that. Right now, I'm reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so I'm not reading anything Harry Potter right now, but I'm definitely going to go read The Chamber of Secrets next. I'm excited to see what Harry Potter has in store, and I'm excited to see Harry Potter grow up and, you know, fight Voldemort and go through this whole experience again. A funny thing that happened was I actually bought the book last year when they were coming out with the, you know, the different collector's editions with the different houses. And I don't know why, but I was compelled to buy the Ravenclaw one because I don't feel like I'm brave enough or, you know, the main character enough to be a Gryffindor. And I don't think I'm that kind of Slytherin or Hufflepuffs person. So I picked up Ravenclaw, and after I read the books, I did the Pottermore quiz, and I was so happy that I did actually get Ravenclaw again some, like, what, 5 months later. And yeah, I guess it's really interesting to see what J.K. Rowling has made, you know, not just with Harry Potter and magic, but also with these houses and the spirit that, you know, you as well can be classified into a different house. And I don't know, I just find that a really exciting experience, even though I might be, you know, 8 years late or something. Definitely, it's never too late to jump on board the hype train or the Hogwarts Express train, if you get what I mean. Yeah? No? Yeah. So this is a second episode to the Budget Card podcast. Definitely, hopefully you'll see a bit of an improvement from my pilot episode. Hopefully the audio quality is definitely a lot better and my presenting skills have improved somewhat. My next episode hopefully will be with a friend, so that would be a bit more interesting and a bit less awkward. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. I have no idea what else to expect from this podcast. It's the holidays, so I'm gonna just try work on it and see what I can do. I'll try to put this up on iTunes and Spotify and Google Podcasts or whatever you call it. I need a new thing to work on. I need a new platform to express my thoughts and, you know, my daily life. And I feel like podcasting is a really interesting avenue for me to explore. So anyway, if you guys like this, any support you have will be greatly appreciated. And I'll see you guys soon.